Hi, we'd like to invite you to study with us from the Old Testament, a scripture found in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Bible says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, What they have spoken is good." Now this passage is part of a speech Moses was making just before he would die. He was recalling the giving of the Ten Commandments. At Mount Sinai, God spoke with His own voice to the people, and they were terrified. They asked that God speak to them through Moses, and not directly with His own voice. God appreciated what they were saying. From then on, Moses would become the go-between and relay the word from God to the people. Then God made this promise in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him." Here is the promise of a prophet like Moses being raised up. Now, Christians believe that this prophet is Jesus. We'll talk more about that in a moment. God said He would reveal His law through this new prophet. The people would be obligated to hear and obey this new law. Now, obviously, this was going to be a new law. For God would not raise up another prophet just to deliver the very same law which Moses had already given. But a warning is given about anyone who would claim to be this prophet. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 20, listen. "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." Now, if anyone would claim to be the prophet like Moses and begin presumptuously speaking forth words to the people, that prophet will die. Now, how would the people know a pretender from the real prophet like Moses? Deuteronomy 18, verse 21 explains. Listen. "And if you say in your heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if a thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." Here is one test, then, by which the people could detect a false prophet. If the prophet speaks words which do not come true, then he is a false prophet. Now, having read Deuteronomy 18 and having noticed the prophecy, let me read to you now from the Muslim holy book, the Quran. Their book is divided into chapters which they call surahs. I'm reading from Surah 7, verse 157. There the Quran says, "Those who follow the messenger, the unlettered or unspecified prophet, whom they find mentioned in their own scriptures, in the law and in the gospel, for he commands them what is just and forbids them what is evil." Here then is a passage in the Quran claiming that a messenger from God who is mentioned in the law of the Jews and in the gospel of Christians is coming. Now here are the comments offered by Muslims regarding this passage. I'm reading from their own comments at the bottom of the page. Listen. Quote, "In this verse is a prefiguring to Moses of the Arabian messenger, the last and greatest of the messengers of Allah. Prophecies about him will be found in the Torah and in the Gospel. In the reference to the Torah as now accepted by the Jews, Moses says, The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me." Deuteronomy 18:15. The only prophet who was brought a law like that of Moses was Muhammad, the chosen one, and he came of the house of Ishmael, the brother of Isaac, the father of Israel. In the reference to the gospel, as now accepted by the Christians, Christ promised another comforter, John 14:16. The Greek word Paraclete, which the Christians interpret as referring to the Holy Spirit, is by our doctors taken as Paraclete, which would be the Greek form of Mohammed. End quote. In other words, the comments offered in the Quran regarding this passage found in Surah 7, verse 157, these comments are saying that both the Torah of the Jews, or the first five books of the Jewish Bible, and the Gospel of the Christians predicted the coming of Muhammad. The passage in the Torah which predicted Muhammadly is supposedly Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 18. And the passage in the Gospels which supposedly predicts Muhammad is John 14, verse 16. Now let's examine this very carefully. All the Jews, except for just a handful, of course, reject Jesus as fulfilling the prophecy of Deuteronomy 18. All the Muslims in the world reject Jesus as fulfilling the prophecy. Now think about this. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world. They represent 22% of the world's population. They're the second largest religion in the world. They're growing at a rate of 2.9% per year. The world population is only growing at 2.3%. So Muslims are growing faster than world population. So then, what this means is about one-fourth of all the world believes that Muhammad is the prophet like Moses, which Deuteronomy 18 speaks about. So let's examine Deuteronomy 18 carefully and see why it cannot refer to Muhammad and why it must refer to Jesus Christ. When the Muslims read Deuteronomy 18, here's what they've been taught to believe. Deuteronomy 18 says God will put His words in the mouth of the prophet like Moses. And Muslims believe God put His words in the mouth of Muhammad. Deuteronomy 18 says the prophet was to be from among the brethren of the Israelites. Now let's stop right here. Before we go on and ask about anything else, let's ask about this word brethren as it's being used in Deuteronomy 18. Muslims are Arabs. The Arabs descended from Ishmael, a son of Abraham. There were 12 tribes that came from Ishmael. Genesis chapter 17, verse 20 says, "As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation." The Israelites, on the other hand, descended from Jacob. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, the son of Isaac. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel, Genesis 32, verse 28. Ishmael and his 12 tribes descended from Abraham, and Jacob and his 12 tribes descended from Abraham. And so, Muslims believe they are brethren to the 12 tribes of Jacob. Since Muhammad is the only Ishmaelite who ever claimed to be a prophet, Muslims say he must therefore be the prophet of Deuteronomy 18 who was raised up from among the brethren of the Israelites. Now here's the first problem. To understand how the word brother is used in Deuteronomy 18, we need to look at the context of this passage. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says there, "The priests, the Levites, all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his portion. Therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance as he said them." The Levites are being contrasted in this passage with their brethren. Who are their brethren in this chapter? Of course, this refers to the other 11 tribes of the Israelites. This is true in many other passages. The term brethren is used to speak of fellow Israelites. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 7, the Bible says, "If a man is found kidnapping any of his brethren of the children of Israel and mistreats him or sells him, then the kidnapper shall die." Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "There was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren." And so the term brethren in the Old Testament scriptures refers not to any descendant of Abraham indiscriminately, but to fellow Israelites. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Listen to this passage. Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and possess it, and dwell in it, and say, I'll set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren. You shall set as a king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not of your brethren. Now this passage is important for two reasons. It's in the context of Deuteronomy 18, and it clearly distinguishes between a foreigner and brethren, or fellow Israelites. Neither the Jews nor the Scriptures ever call Ishmaelites brethren. Now, we could stop right here, and we would have proven that the prophet of Deuteronomy 18 could not have been Muhammad based on the word brethren alone. But let's go on. Notice in Deuteronomy 18 that God says to Moses, in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Muslims claim that Muhammad is much more like Moses than Jesus was. Here's the comparisons they've come up with. Moses and Muhammad were both lawgivers, military leaders, and spiritual guides of their people and nations, but Jesus wasn't. Moses and Muhammad were at first rejected by their own people, fled to exile, but returned some years later to become leaders of their nation, and Jesus wasn't. Moses and Muhammad made it possible for the immediate and successful conquest of the land of Palestine after their deaths by their followers. Joshua conquered the land after Moses, and Umar conquered the land after Muhammad had died. At the same time, Muslims have been taught that Jesus is so different from Moses that he could not possibly be the prophet of Deuteronomy 18. Here's the comparison made by Muslims. Moses was only a prophet, but Jesus is the Son of God, according to Christians. Very different, you see. Moses, again, died naturally, but Jesus died violently on the cross. A great difference, they believe. Moses was the national ruler of Israel, but Jesus was never a national ruler during his earthly ministry. Now, here's a question. Do these similarities and contrasts prove Muhammad is the prophet like Moses in Deuteronomy 18, and Jesus was not? Well, first, these contrasts and comparisons are of no importance in determining who the prophet is. The Bible often calls Jesus a prophet as well as the Son of God. In Matthew 13, verse 57, the Bible says they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Here's Jesus calling himself a prophet. In Matthew 21, verse 10 and 11, when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now the fact that Jesus died violently has nothing to do with identifying him as the prophet of Deuteronomy 18, since many prophets died violently. In Matthew 23, verse 31, Jesus said, therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. As a matter of fact, the Quran says this in Surah 2, verse 91, quote, why then have ye slain the prophets of Allah in the times gone by, if you did indeed believe? End quote. So even the Quran admits true prophets have been murdered. Furthermore, the Bible teaches that the church is spiritual Israel, Galatians 6, verse 16. The church is the fulfillment of what Israel was only a type of. So, just as Moses led the nation of Israel during his lifetime, Jesus now leads the church of Christ from his throne in heaven. And therefore, in this respect, Jesus really is like Moses. In Colossians 1, verse 18, the Bible says, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, the second thing I want to observe is that if we reverse the process, we can show many similarities between Jesus and Moses, and at the same time show how Muhammad is very different from Moses. For example, Moses and Jesus were both Israelites. Muhammad was an Ishmaelite, and this is a crucial factor in determining the identity of the prophet. Again, Moses and Jesus both left Egypt to perform God's work. Muhammad was never in Egypt. In Hebrews 11, verse 27, the Bible said, "By faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." In Matthew chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, "Joseph arose. He took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I have called my son." And again, Moses and Jesus both forsook great wealth to share the poverty of their people. Muhammad did not do this. In Hebrews 11, verse 25 and 26, Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked for the reward. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And so we have seen similarities, you see, between Jesus and Moses, where Muhammad is different. And this shows the weakness of trying to compare Moses with Muhammad. And here's the question. How can we then identify the prophet of Deuteronomy 18? Since there were numerous prophets down through the ages, it's logical to assume that the prophet of Deuteronomy 18 would be like Moses in a very unique way that no other prophet was like. In the prophecy itself, we're given two distinguishing features to look for, which clearly indicate the nature of the prophet. Notice again, Deuteronomy 18, I'm reading verses 15 and 16. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die." Here are two implied qualities of Moses which the prophet must have. Number one, Moses knew the Lord face to face. And number two, Moses did great signs and wonders. The prophet, like Moses, would clearly have these two same qualities. Now, did Muhammad have either quality? Let's take the idea of face-to-face first. God spoke to Moses directly, and he became a mediator between God and Israel. When God was angry with Aaron and Miriam, here's what God said to them in Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. He said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He's faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Again, Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. "Since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." The scriptures are making it plain then that God spoke with Moses face to face, and that was a unique aspect of Moses which the prophet would possess. But the Quran, the holy book of Islam, teaches plainly that Muhammad received communications at all times through the angel Gabriel, supposedly. At no time did he speak directly with God face to face. Muslims admit this themselves. The Quran admits this. But look at what the scriptures say about Jesus. In Matthew 11, verse 27, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." In John 8, verse 28, Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." Verse 38, "I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father." John chapter 10, verse 18, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. John chapter 15, verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So Jesus, in all of these passages, is claiming that he communicated with God face to face. And what that means, according to Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, it means plainly, not in dark sayings, not in visions, not in dreams. In other words, both Moses and Jesus did not have dreams or visions, but they spoke with God and received God's word directly, plainly, word for word. Muhammad, on the other hand, claims to have received his messages through the angel Gabriel. A big difference. Now, consider signs and wonders. The prophet of Deuteronomy 18 would have to show signs and wonders if he claimed to be like Moses. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered and said, suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Verse 8, then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, they may believe the message of the latter sign. Now, the idea of signs and wonders being performed by Moses is found in the context of Deuteronomy 18. Notice carefully, I'm reading Deuteronomy 18, starting with verse 18 through 22. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. I'll put my words in his mouth. He shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or to speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. Now, here's what this means. For example, in Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh, say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. Now, if the land of Egypt was not stricken with frogs after Moses said this, then he would not have been a true prophet, you see. Now, question, did Muhammad do any signs or wonders to prove he was a prophet from God? And the answer is absolutely not. If any man believes Muhammad is a prophet, they must simply take Muhammad's word for it. That's blind faith, because Muhammad never performed any signs. I'm reading from the Quran, Surah chapter 6, verse 37. They say, quote, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? Say, Allah hath certainly power to send down a sign, but most of them understand not. End quote. In other words, God could send a sign if he wanted, but he just hasn't. In the same surah, here's Muhammad speaking again. Surah 6, verse 57, quote, say, for me, I work on a clear sign for my Lord, but ye reject him. What ye would see hastened is not in my power. The command rests with none but Allah. End quote. And so Muhammad himself says he does not have power to work any clear sign from God. Later in the same chapter, unbelievers ask for a sign, and Muhammad says none will be given because they wouldn't believe anyway. What about Jesus? Did Jesus work signs and wonders to prove he was from God? Listen, John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Peter said, Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Listen, everyone knew Jesus performed signs and wonders. Clearly, Muhammad fails the test. He is not the prophet of Deuteronomy 18, but Jesus passes the test. And now, here is a favorite objection that Muslims believe proves Jesus could not be the prophet of Deuteronomy 18. Their objection is that Jesus died at the hands of the Jews. If he died at their hands, he could not have been the prophet of Deuteronomy 18, because in Deuteronomy 18, verse 20, the Bible says, The prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. In other words, only false prophets would die, or in other words, die violently, be put to death, is how Muslims interpret die in this verse. Jesus died at the hand of the Jews. Therefore, Jesus could not be the prophet of Deuteronomy 18, according to their reasoning. Well, there are two things I want to say about this. First of all, Muslims believe Jesus was not crucified and put to death by the Jews to begin with. Did you know this? I'm reading from their book, the Quran, Surah 4, verses 157 and 158, quote, that they say in boast, we killed Christ, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they killed him not, nor crucified him, but so it was made to appear to them, and those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For of a surety, they killed him not. Nay, Allah raised him up unto himself, and Allah is exalted in power. End quote. Now, listen, Islam teaches that Judas or someone else was made to look like Jesus, and someone else was crucified on the cross, but Jesus himself was not crucified. They say he was taken directly into heaven, alive, supposedly. Well, if that's true, then Muslims themselves are rejecting their own objection, because Jesus didn't die violently. And if Deuteronomy 18, verse 20 is saying only false prophets die violently, then Muslims themselves have answered their own objection. But second, every prophet died. And as a matter of fact, many true prophets died violently. And whether they were true prophets or false prophets, every one of them died. Both the Quran and the Bible admit this. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Now, Deuteronomy 18, verse 20 is not saying that every false prophet would be put to death physically or executed, but true prophets would live and not die physically. It says simply that every false prophet shall die. Now, what God meant was that every false prophet would perish eternally, and all his prophecies with him. Only on the day of judgment will we finally know who all the false prophets of all the ages really were. But the death being spoken of in Deuteronomy 18, verse 20, is eternal death, not physical death. Here's the bottom line. God gave a definite promise that a prophet would arise like Moses and would mediate another covenant with signs to accompany him to show that this new covenant and new law was heavenly in its origin. The scriptures clearly show that this was Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3, verse 22, Moses truly said to the fathers, The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, And all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. John chapter 5, verse 46. If you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. John 6, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this truly is the prophet who is to come into the world. In John 7, verse 40, therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. After witnessing all of the things, you see, that Jesus did, and after delivering a new covenant which he mediated face to face between God and his people, the apostles knew Jesus was the prophet who was coming, as foretold in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. The covenant which Jesus brought was different than the one Moses delivered, but Jesus was the prophet like Moses. In Exodus 24, verse 8, the Bible says, Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant which God has made with you according to all these words. Now watch what happens. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 28, this is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And so just like Moses brought a covenant, ratified it with blood of animals, Jesus brought a new covenant and ratified it with his own blood. He is like Moses. When God spoke to Moses face to face, listen to what happened. Exodus 34, verse 29 and 30. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Now, watch what happened to Jesus when he was transfigured on the mountain of transfiguration. Matthew 17, verse 2, he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. No other prophet could make such a claim as this. No one else knew God face to face like Moses, except for Jesus Christ, the prophet who was like Moses. Jesus is the only one who could have fulfilled the prophecy of Deuteronomy 18. So in conclusion, Jesus is the only one who was like Moses in two critical aspects. He spoke with God face to face like Moses. He performed signs like Moses to confirm his identity. No one else ever did this except Jesus Christ.